This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Butterflies, moths, honeybees, native bees, hummingbirds, and lots of different types of flies and wasps are responsible for much of the food we eat. They also play a critical role in ensuring the production of seeds in most flowering plants. Last year, the Cincinnati Zoo introduced a line of pollinator-friendly plants that grow well in this area. And joining us this afternoon to discuss how to turn your yard into a habitat that attracts healthy pollinators are Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden horticulturist and chairman of the Taking Root campaign, Scott Berline. You can be part of the conversation, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Scott, good to see you this afternoon.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Thank you so much.
Good.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. What is the importance of these pollinators? How much food production are they responsible for?
I think they say something like 3 of every 5 bites. I forget the exact statistic. I should know it. But
so roughly 60% of the bites you take. Okay.
Yeah, quite a few. I mean, and when you consider even, okay, you're eating beef and maybe that wasn't affected by pollinators. Well, you know, some of the food that the cow ate was, pollinated by pollinators. So it's really important stuff. And, another aspect of it, of course, you need the pollinators to pollinate the flowers that allow the tomatoes and the watermelons and everything else to develop. That's all important. But the other thing pollinators do is they keep down pest insects. So by having a rich environment that's suitable for a wide variety of different pollinators, you're having a healthier environment, and that allows for our crops to produce more, to do so with less pesticides. So it's all good stuff.
And the hierarchy of pollinators, is there a pollinator that's more important than the others?
Actually, that's one of the more important things is the diversity of pollinators is more important than relying on just one.
Just one, okay.
Yeah. So, in terms of crops, the honeybee is obviously the most important insect for that. But there's a lot of individual solitary bees, a lot of flies, a lot of wasps that also do the job.
Now, what are some things gardeners can do to help attract pollinators?
Well, just a few things that are really important. One is try to limit or don't use chemicals at all in the garden that are pesticides, because when you spray those, a lot of times you're spraying the beneficial insects along with the pest insects. And that's doing two things. It's killing pollinators. And then it's not allowing them to help you with your pest problems again. And the pests tend to proliferate much more fast and aggressively than our beneficial insects do. So anytime they take a hit, your beneficials take a hit, then that throws things out of balance and makes it even harder to fix. So you want to limit your use of pesticides. You want to have a lot of flowers in bloom all season long. So these beneficials, the wasps and flies in particular, and some of the bees, will need a constant source of nectar and pollen to feed on all season long, especially early in the year and late in the year before and after winter, so they have the energy to carry on and get going. But I kind of lost my train of thought.
So there's a seasonal nature to this.
Oh, yes.
The pollinators are...
Yeah.
Okay.
But so if you have that constant succession of bloom there for the pollinators, that's really healthy for them. Other than that, having layers of canopy is very beneficial for pollinators. And here's the most important thing, one of the most important things and one of the best news items for gardeners is if you don't clean up your garden especially well, that benefits the pollinators as well, because a lot of times they lay their eggs on old stems and old leaves, old wood piles, whatever.
So you're actually creating a nesting site for the pollinators?
You are.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you're a sloppy gardener, you might be doing a lot of good for your pollinating insects.
Now, what suggestions do you have if someone has a hive or a swarm around their yard or house and they're worried about it?
First of all, don't be worried about it. Bees are... only aggressive. Bees and wasps are most aggressive when you're near their nests. So, I've got certain plants that are just loaded with all kinds of bees and wasps. And I've actually tried to reach in there and provoke them to sting me, and I've never had any success. They just will not. You brush them aside, they fly off and come back to a flower. They're intent on feeding when they're doing that. Now, if there's a swarming, that's kind of like in between nesting, that they're looking for a new home. So they're usually preoccupied with that, but I wouldn't go around and provoke them there. But in most cases with a swarming bees, either call a beekeeper who will gladly come and get it for you, or just leave them alone and they'll probably move on before very long.
So growing more flowers, obviously you talked about a canopy. That's just essentially saying grow more flowers,
Right? And okay. Trees and shrubs, you know, so ground covers all the way up to tall trees.
So what are some good annuals for attracting pollinators?
You know, annuals are great. They get a lot of bad press because the carbon footprint for annuals may be a little higher because you're replacing them every year and so forth. But for pollinators, they're a great way to have that succession of flowering all season long. So from when you can get them in the ground in May until that heavy frost, things like zinnias or lantana, Bidens, Evolvulus, these are plants that are constantly in bloom, attracting a lot of pollinators, and easy to grow, pretty plants, easy to use in the garden.
And perennials?
Perennials too. Yeah, the trick with perennials is that most of them will only bloom for maybe a week to 3 weeks. Some are longer, like Rudbeckias, Black-Eyed Susans, and things like that. And those are good perennials to try to use because they help you with that long season of bloom. But you know, having a diversity of perennials is also very good. So having even those short bloomers is important, especially towards the early part of the season and the late part of the season.
Do native plants make good attractors for pollinators?
Yeah, a couple reasons for that. A lot of the native plants haven't been bred for as long as some of the exotic garden plants that we use. So they're closer to their wild kin. And those plants tend to be more suitable for a lot of the pollinators to use. And then also native plants are important because they can be host plants. A lot of the butterflies have to use a specific plant for laying their eggs and having the caterpillars grow and pupate into butterflies. So, for instance, monarchs, of course, need asclepias or butterfly weed to complete their life cycle. So that you can use those native butterfly weeds and or milkweeds, actually, and that will support monarchs. Likewise with spice bush. If you want the spice bush swallowtail, you got to have a spice bush somewhere in the yard or around. So, you know, including that, which is a great native shrub that nobody really seems to know that much about. But if you can put it in your garden, then you'll have the spice bush. Same with pawpaws, which is a great small tree, again, a native from our woods, which attracts the zebra tail swallowtail. So it's a lot of fun, actually, to start using this stuff.
And something I learned from my own flower garden at home. How important is it to just do some observation?
Because absolutely.
The pollinators will kind of tell you that themselves what
totally.
They like.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's a lot of fun to do. And, you know, with some of these new selections and things coming in the market, there's a lot of debate. Is this a good plant for pollinators or not? Well, there's a lot of science being done and even just citizen science of people observing the activity that's on their own plants.
So how do you attract pollinators to a vegetable garden?
The best way is to surround it with a nice mix of flowering plants. So you may have your vegetable patch there. Why not put a bunch of cosmos around it, which will be in bloom all summer, which will attract all the beneficial insects, and those will help keep the pest off your vegetables.
Now, the zoo actually created a couple of lists: best perennials,
best annuals.
How did those lists come about? How much research went into those?
Quite a bit. I mean, it came out of our trialing program, which has been going on for about 12 years now. And so the trialing program is bigger. It's all about what plants look and function well in the garden, in gardens in this area, this region of the country. But out of that, we also couldn't help but notice that many are very, very good plants for pollinators. So we thought that This is important to do. This is an important thing with pollinators. Get those lists out there. Get plants into the local garden centers that we recommend, and people will be able to make good decisions without doing all the research themselves, you know, and put these plants in their gardens and do a lot of good for the environment.
Does the zoo have these on a website where people can look at these lists?
Yeah, the zoo website, cincinnatizoo.org. And then go on to gardens, and then that's where we have all of our trialing information on trees, shrubs, annuals, perennials, grasses, and then also the zoo's best plants for pollinators, which lists the plants that we're recommending.
And you can find links to those lists on our website, wvxu.org. Scott, thank you so much for coming in.
Absolutely.
We always enjoy
it's always
talking
fun.
To you. Scott Berline. He is the Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden horticulturist and also the chairman of the Taking Root campaign. And I hope you'll be able to join us tonight as horticulturist Sarah Stoles, Peter Huttinger, David Kester, and Paul Colazar participate in the Clifton Cultural Arts Center Sunset Salon Garden and Landscape. The panel discussion is going to start at 6, and you can find a link to more information about that at wvxu.org. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. You can find archives of our programs at WVXU.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer was Selena Reeder. Josh Elstro was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now coming up next on 91.7 WVXU.